This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Mark chapter 6. Welcome to Kanenbaum Podcast, a podcast designed to offer the Christian rest during life's journey, featuring devotional segments and music by those who support the teaching of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the Wells, and the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the ELS. I'm Tom Barthel, glad to be serving as your host for this episode. This is episode number 167. If you were to list all the requests in the Lord's Prayer, how would they line up in comparison with the things you pray for most often? I don't know about you, but the things I pray for most often can end up being very small and actually insignificant things. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with praying that small things will happen, such as you'll have a safe trip while driving, or you'll get over a sickness quickly, or that God will help you through your difficult day. Those are good things to pray for. But might we dare to pray for something even greater? When Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, he was aiming to focus our hearts and minds on things far greater than the ordinary things. He taught us to pray for the very biggest things. That is what we find in the second request of the Lord's Prayer, Your kingdom come. To understand this request, we must first understand what is meant by the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is found in the things of this world, we would only be praying that God gives us success, nice clothing, good food, and good order. Maybe we'd even be praying that he provides us with good laws, good judges, and justice and peace. Those are all, of course, good things to pray for. But that isn't what's meant by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is even greater than all the blessings of home and nation. When Jesus was on trial before Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world." He has a far greater kingdom. Jesus taught about the kingdom of God by contrasting it with the things we worry about in our earthly struggles. He said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth." And, "Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear." Then he added, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In other words, the kingdom of God is more important than everything else in life. It should be our primary concern. After all, what could possibly be more important than being brought from the kingdom of darkness and sin into the kingdom of light and forgiveness? Is your breakfast, your clothing, even your body more important than belonging to that kingdom? One way the kingdom of God comes is it is spread by the gospel, more and more joining his kingdom as they come to faith in God's promises. And there's another way it comes. If you belong to the kingdom of Christ, then you will also join in his kingdom when this world ends. All the promises of Scripture that describe this world freed from sin's curse will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again in glory. The kingdom which God will establish on the last day will be what all Christians long for. It will be a promised resurrection of the dead. It will include eternal life for all believers. It will be an everlasting and absolute peace in a new creation. It will be better than the paradise of Eden, better than anything we could ever pray for in this life. It will be God himself present forever with his people in everlasting peace and joy. I know I will keep praying for the small things. I'll pray about the struggles I face and the struggles others face. I'll thank God for the small things like food and clothes. But I don't want to forget to pray for the greatest thing. Lord, your kingdom come. I will pray for the greatest blessings. I will pray for those who struggle in life today that they might find everlasting peace and hope through faith in Christ, and that they might join all believers in longing for the promised coming kingdom of our God when he comes again. In the end, you have to ask, how could God ever have us long suffer loss in our earthly life if he's promised us great riches in his eternal kingdom? Just wait and pray. He comes today in his gospel, and his kingdom comes in glory on the last day. That is why Christians are taught to pray, "Your kingdom come." Join with me as I pray that God's kingdom comes to many hearts today as he rules over the hearts of his people, and that his kingdom comes when he visibly returns and restores all things in his new creation. Your kingdom come. His richest blessings are found by those who by faith and his great mercy are in his kingdom. I'm Tom Barthel, pastor at Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. God's richest blessings are yours in Jesus. Here's a song by the Lutheran Cayley Orchestra, "Christ Be Beside Me."
Christ be beside me, Christ be before me, Christ be behind me, King of my heart. Christ be within me, Christ be below me, Christ be above me, never to part. Christ on my right hand, Christ on my left hand, Christ all around me, shielding the strife. Christ in my sleeping, Christ in my sitting, Christ in my rising, light of my life. Christ, we in our hearts thinking about me. Christ, we in our tongues telling of me. Christ, we the vision in eyes that see me. In ears that hear me, Christ ever be. Thank you.
Up next, we have a peace devotion. You can find more segments like this at peacedevotions.com.
You live among a hidden kingdom. Its members are all around you every day. It is a kingdom that defies geographical borders. But without fail, these members of the kingdom, week after week, show their colors. They don their colors of purple and gold. Sometimes they put on these ridiculous looking hats with horns on them. Sometimes they even paint their bodies and wear these yellow mustaches. Without fail, though, they all gather together around their TVs in their stadium, proudly wear their colors, and to cheer on their team. Now, I don't know what team you might cheer on, but if I were to tell you that I am a Vikings fan, but I have an outfit and it's sitting in my closet, but I never wear it, I never gather for games, I never watch games, I never cheer for the Vikings, well, I would be lying to you if I told you I was a real Vikings fan, because I'm not really wearing my colors. This is what the Bible says in James when he says, faith without works is dead. I can't see a person's beating heart inside their chest, but it's really obvious when someone is actually alive and well because they're doing something a living person does. They're walking, breathing, talking, interacting with people. The same is true of the Christian faith. We can't look into a person's heart and see if there's truly faith there, but by their actions, by that person wearing their colors and living a Christian life, you can tell if there is saving faith. This is really important because in American Christianity, we live amongst an epidemic of apathy. More and more Christians are telling themselves that I can truly believe in Christ, but I don't have to live as a disciple of Christ. I can call myself a believer, but I don't have to attend church or belong to a church. These Christians are deceiving themselves. Like James says, faith without works is a dead faith. So what is the kingdom of God? It begins with faith in the heart. But Paul tells us in Romans 15, it is a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of joy in the Holy Spirit. It is a kingdom of righteousness. It's not about our works, but what Jesus has done for us. He covers us with His holy, precious blood. He makes us members of His kingdom through the declaration, your sins are forgiven. That truth, that reality, gives us peace. Peace knowing we're going to heaven. Peace knowing we have a right relationship with God. Peace knowing that if the worst were to happen to me today, that I confidently can look death in the face and know that my future is certain because I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus. And that real righteousness that Christ gives you, that real peace that Jesus gives you, produces real joy. Real joy that means I can't let that stay hidden in my heart, but I'm going to wear my colors. I'm going to support my team. I'm going to cheer for the gospel and support the gospel and gather week after week with my fellow Christians to cheer on the home team. That's what we pray for. When we pray, Thy kingdom come, we're asking our Lord Jesus to first of all conquer our hearts so that through us He would continue to work His wonders, to continue to spread the gospel and help His kingdom here on earth grow. So, Thy kingdom come.
Today we'll close with a song by Chris Dreisbach, All the Way Home.
Trouble comes and it goes in my life, and I start to wonder, is God there? It's so hard, I don't see. I forget all the proof of his love for me. But I know God works everything for my good, and he holds me close in his arms for always, till I join with the saints in their endless song of praise. He is there by my side, walking me home, all the way home. See, I wear the scars of sin. You don't get too far in this world without them. But he'll return soon, I pray. Every bruise and every hurt will pass away. And I know my good, and he holds me close in his arms for always, till I join with the saints in their endless song of praise. He is there by my side, walking me home, all the way home, all the way home. He's walking me home. Close in his arms for always, till I join with the saints in their endless song of praise. He is there by my side, walking me home, all the way home.
You have been listening to Kanenbaum Podcast, episode number 167, first shared in November of 2023. Find information about the Lutheran Cayley Orchestra and Chris Dreisbach, both of which were featured in this episode. You can find links at kanenbaumpodcast.com. As always, we encourage you to visit a Wells or ELS ministry location nearest you. To find one, you can visit wells.net. and click on search for a church or school. Once again, thanks for joining us, and remember his promised rest.